Well, guys, I'm so pumped for today because we have Kyle Klemmer on. He is from Texas, the great state of Texas. Would you say it's great, Kyle?
You know what? I moved here 2 years ago and I love it. So yeah, I totally agree. I see exactly what all the fuss is about.
Yeah. So we have Kyle on today, and today we're talking about a topic that not a lot of people hit on. And I wanted to bring Kyle on to talk about data and how you can use data to source properties and grow your real estate business to the next level, because there's a lot of data out there that you guys don't even know about. You know, you're pulling deals off of Zillow, the MLS, Facebook groups. You know, you're finding all these houses there, but he's going to show us exactly where you can find data with houses that probably have never been contacted before, people that have never been reached out by a postcard or by a phone call. He's going to show us what data you can use to grow your business. So Kyle, welcome to the show, man. How's it going?
Appreciate you having me on, man. And it's I know that, like, you know, we talked once before, but I was like, you know, like, my secret sauce is so different than what we discussed, you know, like, it would it be possible to come back on? So I appreciate you inviting me on to be able to share this information with your audience.
Yeah, definitely. For everybody that's getting to meet Kyle for the first time, you need to go back. I think it was a couple episodes ago, a few weeks back, I had Kyle on and Bryce McKinley to talk about how they're working together to grow their coaching program and just what they each do. And so that's the introduction there. So make sure you watch or listen to that podcast intro, because that kind of leads into this one. And Kyle, like I said, I want to value your time. I want to value our people's times as listening. So I want to jump right into this. You can tell us a little bit about what your niche is. And it sounds like data is your thing, man. Like, yeah. Talk about what data you're talking about and just go right into it, because I want this to be super knowledgeable for our peeps.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. So I'll jump right in. So, you know, I'm in both retail and investment. And the thing about that is there's one commonality between all of that, and that is the data that we use. And so I use the same sets of data for my retail team as I do my investment team. So that's listening to this, like, I want you to know that the information that I'm talking to you about is something that we use on both sides of the fence. You know, one of the things that I was talking about with Michael off camera was, I'm like, we practice what we preach. Like, you know, we're growing another team right now. We expanded into the Dallas market, and we're using these same principles right now. And so the information that we use, it's public. It's public, and in most instances, it's free. The problem is that people just don't want to work for it.
Right.
And the amount of work that they need is very minimal, but it requires you to actually leave your house, go have some conversations with people that you may not know. And oftentimes, believe it or not, the people that you're going to be talking to might not know what it is you're talking about either.
Okay.
And so, when I teach my team, when I teach, you know, students and whatnot, I talk about five different principles as far as the data goes. And so there's death, divorce, debt, disaster, and age.
All right. Say those one more time for everybody that's maybe taking notes or something. And I want you guys to listen. I know there's a few people that listen to this and they're real estate agents. This can be used if you're an investor, like he said, or an agent. Okay. So this is around, what are those five key points?
Yeah, so we'll go through one more time. So we have death, divorce, debt, disaster, and then age.
Okay.
So, and the one that I really want to hit on, and just because obviously our time is pretty limited here, but like the debt part of it is super huge. And so one of the main lists that we focus on are the tax delinquency lists.
Okay.
And so believe it or not, all of the information that I advocate people to find, it's public information. So it's readily available. It's at your fingertips, because, you know, the two main lists that, you know, real estate agents call are the for sale by owners and the expired listings. That's just tried and true. And even a lot of investors work those as well. Mm-hmm. You know, real estate investors work the same path of least resistance that everyone else does. Here's the cool thing about the property tax delinquent lists is that there's a lot of people that, believe it or not, that do not pay their property taxes.
Right.
And it's a sign of distress. And so you can actually go every city. I've literally done this all over the country. So you go to your county tax assessor collector's office, whoever collects the property taxes in your state, in your municipality, they're going to be the ones that have this information. Now, sometimes it's formatted differently. And so what you start to see here is that when it comes to property taxes, and when you get this big list, and I'll go into just like how robust and how amazing this list is, because within this list, you've got non-owner occupied, you have estate, you have some of those aged properties that I was talking about, mm-hmm. and obviously the property tax delinquent piece of it, because, you know, a lot of times you hear people talk about bankruptcies and foreclosures. Where do you think those come from? They come from this list. This right. list evolves into that. Where do you think a lot of the Zillows and all of this are pulling their information? They're pulling it from these sources. And people think that this is just crazy voodoo that these big tech companies have. Sure, they have, you know, things that scrape the API, but anybody can go there and get it.
Right.
I physically go into these locations, and a lot of them are on FTPs. So you go in there once, you fill out a form, they give you login access, and you can pull this. And so when I pull this list, a lot of these lists, they actually have the county's assessed appraised value of the home. Mm-hmm. So in Texas, it can get tricky in states where it's a non-disclosure state. So like in the state of Texas, and what I mean by non-disclosure is when you sell the home, you do not have to report the sales value to the county.
Oh, so, okay. Wow.
Yep. And so that's why something like Zillow, in a state like Texas, there's like 10 states that are non-disclosure.
So is non-disclosure good or bad? I know you're probably about to get in that. What would you say? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. To be quite honest, from the homeowner standpoint, it gives you more of a leg to stand on when you're disputing your property taxes. So as a real estate agent, if you're trying to do some lead generation, helping people dispute their property taxes is a very good show of good faith. But at the same time as well is it thins the herd a little bit as far as investment goes. So I know that like traditionally, as far as the appraised values of homes in Texas, they're about 30% less.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's a huge discrepancy there. But the nice thing is that that kind of levels the playing field, because like information then from Zillow and Redfin isn't necessarily accurate.
Accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got to, you need the MLS, which is going to be your most accurate source of data, because sales information is reported in there.
Right.
And so When you get all of this information, so you have the tax delinquencies on here. And so this is where, and now you can even take it a step further, because now you know who's over 65, because you have the exemptions on there. And so what we do with this information, so I just threw a whole bunch of stuff at you. And so what we do is we sort the information by how much people owe. Mm-hmm. And so In the state of Texas, now, in no matter what state you're in, what I would do is I would figure out what the average amount of property taxes people pay. In Texas, call it 3%. So you pay 3% of your home's value per year in property taxes. That's pretty high. Other states, it's a little bit lower.
Yeah, I was going to say around here, it's about 1%.
Perfect. Yep. So, but once you know that, you're able to take the amount of money they're behind and figure out how many years they are behind.
Oh, okay.
And if you know, for anyone listening, if you're a homeowner, but if you're in the space, you know that traditionally mortgage companies will escrow your property taxes in with your monthly mortgage payment. And the reason why that is because property taxes take lien priority over a bank mortgage.
Right.
And so just to give you guys the quick and dirty, what that means is that if you owe back property taxes, the county gets their money before the bank does. And the bank always wants to make sure that they get paid what they're owed. And so what the bank will do then is they will escrow that in, and they'll pay your property taxes the same as, you know, they put it into an account, and then they pay that for you just to make sure that those payments are being made on time. So now what happens is that you finish paying your house off and you're surprised with this nice big bill, and it's a lump sum bill. And you're like, crap. Because most Americans, most Americans don't have more than $5,000 in their savings account. Like it's like 5% plus, might even be more. I heard a number kind of making it up, but it's a lot of people who
don't have less than $5,000.
And I'm sorry?
I said, I think it's actually less than 5,000 in the bank.
Probably way less, probably like 500. And so You know, it's got to be because people got way too excited for a $1,200 stimulus check. hey, it helped. But so now to bring it all back. So when you're done paying the house off, you get this bill every year. And so for the first year, it catches someone off guard. And Okay, cool. You figure out how to get it paid. But then what we look for is I sort this list to anyone who is 2 years or more delinquent on their property taxes. Because what have we identified now? The fact that they're 2 years or more delinquent on their property taxes, we've started a trend. They've now shown for 2 years they're unable to pay this amount of money, which makes you beg the question, what's going on? There's something going on.
Right.
Because if they can't pay property taxes, what else can't they do? They can't upkeep the house. You know, they're not, I needed to put a new roof on, so I stopped paying my taxes. The methodology just doesn't work like that. They might have had a medical emergency come up. They might have had something that's preventing them from making this payment. And so now we as investors and real estate agents, because here's the thing, real estate agents, they can call on really anybody. As an investor, I'm like, what's the point in calling on someone who's only a year behind? They might be there. The law of probability, and I can tell you after tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of like cold calls, that 1 year, that 0 to 1 year range is just not worth it.
Yeah, because they may be saying, yeah, I want to get to that eventually, or I'm going to pay that off. But absolutely. Man, once you start seeing that 2, 3, 4, 5 years or more, you know, that level of motivation is there. So everybody that's listening, you need to be taking these notes because this will save you time. Like, because a lot of you guys are going after those deals that they're only behind in their taxes $1,000, $2,000 when you should be focusing your time on what Kyle's saying right here. So I'll let you continue, man. I just wanted to make sure they were focused on that.
Yeah, no, because and that's the thing with real estate agents, they can talk to really anyone in the process because really all they need is someone who might be slightly leaning towards selling their home. But as real estate investors, we want equity. We want margin. We want that space. We want motivation. And so the other thing too is that once you pull these lists, you know, like for example, in Dallas, Texas alone, it's about 89,000 people who are 1 year or more delinquent on their property.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And within the entire Metroplex, I have all of the lists and just the four main counties. It's like 152,000 people.
Yeah, that's a lot.
How's that for a lead list? How's that for motivation? And the thing is that, because then what I do is I sort it even further, because now I'm thinking with my investor hat here. So what I do is that in the state of Texas, and most states are the same, if you're 65 or over or disabled, you cannot be foreclosed on.
Oh, wow.
So I don't like the bank can.
Right.
The bank can. So don't like, let's not get that twisted. You know, if granny can't pay her mortgage, the bank's going to take the home. But if granny can't pay her property taxes, she can stay.
Right.
And so we don't really mess with people who are 65 and over. And so I refine but that.
Let me make this clear. In some states though, it's different. So you need to make sure you know what rules and regulations there are in your state, because one thing he's saying here about in Texas could be totally different here in Kentucky, Indiana, wherever you're at. So just because he's not focusing on 65 and up doesn't mean you don't need to be, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It could be a good niche. You know, for me, I call it like time under tension. So it's like, there is a lot of money to be made in that 65 and over crowd just because, you know, they should want to move and things like that. But to me, it's just, there's always another deal. And, you know, when I refine that list to anyone that's 2 years or more delinquent, and I get rid of the disabled and all that kind of stuff, it's 15,000 people for me to work through.
From 150 to 15?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's what you call refining a list right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, because, you know, they say there's riches in the niches when it comes to this. And so, like, I'm working with people who have, and now of that 15, I know that we did it just this once. Of that 15,000, I've got a list of 4,000, it's like 532. So I call it 4,500, right? That's 2 years or more and non-owner occupied. So now there's multiple forms of distress on right. there. And so, cause like, that's what we, in the investment circles, that's what we're talking about is like motivated sellers. That's the, that I hope that word dies out, but it's always in vogue, you know? Right. And so, and here's the thing about all of this kind of stuff is that I always ask people, I was like, put yourself in the shoes of these sellers. They haven't been foreclosed on yet. They're receiving, you know, letters from these entities. But if you've ever been broke, if you've ever been underwater as far as bills go, what are you not doing? You're not answering your phone. You're not, you know, you're not, you're hiding from people. You're working 2 and 3 jobs. You're doing everything that you can to make sure that you can pay these bills. And so we as investors, I'm like, this is your responsibility now to reach out, provide solutions for these individuals, for these people. You've got all of the information that you need. You know roughly how much the house is worth. You know how much they're behind on property taxes, because then you can get, you know, and I teach going like way deeper into research, like how to find deed records and stuff like that. Because then you can find clouds on title. But with just this information, you can find so many people who are ready to go. And it's a long play with these people. But like I talked about in the beginning, what does this list turn into? It turns into the bankruptcy list. It turns into that pre-foreclosure and foreclosure list. So you're, by the time that these people are super motivated because they're being foreclosed on, you've already been talking to them for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. The relationship is there. And that's why this list is so gold. It doesn't matter whether or not you're a real estate agent or an investor at this point, because these people need our help. They have homes that are valuable on the market. And it gives you a lot of different strategies that you can work off of, because on this list as well is you can see estates. You know, so we talk about that death piece. You know, all too often people are focused on probate. Well, the problem with probate, and because it's public record and you can go to, you know, the probate court and get those lists of people who are going through it, the thing that you've got to understand is that most people in the United States die without a will. And so the reason why this tax list is so great is like, you know, it's like, Michael, like, let's like, if you're an investor, I want you to think about this. One of the, I bought a house this time, I was in the process of selling it this time last year. So it was behind on property taxes, it was non-owner occupied, and it was an estate.
Oh, wow. Three levels there.
And I got it off the tax list. And the thing was, is that I ended up making $86,000 on a wholesale deal.
Wow.
And because what it was is that there were 3 children who, not getting into family affairs, they didn't care for their mother a whole lot. And so she had passed away. The house had been sitting vacant for 3 years, but the neighbors had been parking their car in the driveway and mowing the lawn. So no one driving for dollars is ever going to see that.
Oh, right. Exactly.
And I honestly, how I got a hold of one of the heirs, I have a Wisconsin phone number living in Texas. So I think he just answered the phone at the wrong day.
Right.
And I got him. And so the thing was, is that when I asked him about the house, he goes, yeah, he goes, I don't live in the area. You're free to go take a look at it. And he goes, if the house has been swallowed by the earth, could you take some pictures for me? I think that would be funny. I was like, oh man, wow. Okay. But my case in point being is there's a lot of homes just like this. They didn't fight me at all on the offer I made because the house was owned free and clear. So each one of the heirs, I offered them $48,000 on the house. We sold it for $126,000, so maybe not quite $80,000, but right around that $80,000
mark.
But it was a wholesale deal. It was a wholesale deal. I held the property for 1 month. You know, anybody listening in the audience, when was the last time you made 86 grand in 1 month?
Right. And you could have flipped it. I'm sure you could have made it a rental. Yeah. You could have listed it on the MLS. You could have done tons of stuff.
Absolutely. You know, the reason why we wholesaled it, was because there was activity on the property. And you know, this, when you balance, I would have made probably just as much money flipping it
right.
as I would have wholesaling it. How I differentiate that is the level that we fix up houses is it guarantees that we're going to get some sort of money. When you're wholesaling it, it can go a lot of different ways.
Right. Well, I just want to point this out. I wish you guys could see the type of houses they flip. Kyle just posted a house they flip, and I'm telling you what, this is like the most beautiful house I've seen. And it was just, it's just so well designed, so well rehabbed. And so Kyle, I want to applaud you on that because it was amazing. And I hope you guys can find Kyle on Facebook and check that out, because it was a pretty nice house. And if I'm not mistaken, you took it down to the studs, right? Pretty much.
Oh, and then some. Like, we took the studs out and put new studs in.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So they did everything to this house. So yeah, continue on, man. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to highlight that.
And we can share a link, because my Facebook profile, Kyle Moses, is public to anybody. So if they check it out, I'll show a bunch of before and afters, and that's when your jaw will really drop as to what we did. But that's when we're talking about those lists, though. That list is my cornerstone. Even for my retail side, I make my retail agents call the same stuff.
Because so you always start out with tax delinquent.
That's the cornerstone. That's my foundation list. Because it has multiple levels of distress within there. You know, it helps me identify what's going on. Because the other lists that I talked about, like death, like I said, the probate piece of it, you have to form relationships with probate attorneys.
Right.
And it can be where you can find death. And what I tell people to do, and it's kind of morbid, but we call it like vital statistics. And you go through the obituaries and you write down the names of all the people who pass away and wait 45 to 60 days. Like, trust me,
don't invade that.
45 to 60 days is tried and true. Like, it's trust me, we've got this timeline hammered down. But what you're able to do is, what information does an obituary have? It has the name of the person who passed away. It has where they lived, but then it has where their heirs live and who they are. And so remember what I told you is that most people pass away without a will. So if someone passes away without a will, you have to do what's called an affidavit of heirship. You basically have to, in order to satisfy the deed and the title, to get it insured, to get it fully insured, to give good, clean, clear title, you have to basically pass that stuff down from one level to the next.
Right.
And so by using the obituaries, you generally know if they had an ex-husband, ex-wife, and who the kids are, so that if you do get in contact with someone who can make a decision on the property, you can help the process along by doing that. And they're obviously motivated, just like I told you about the house, the story that I just gave you, is that they wanted nothing to do with the house. They weren't even paying property taxes on the house. And so,
and most of these people, you know, they're so emotional. You're talking about this niche, you know, this area of expertise. You know, a lot of people that, you know, when a family member or a friend passes away, they don't want to deal with the house. Like, why would they want to deal with it in general, you know? So you could be really helping them in this time of need. So don't ever look at it like, oh, I'm intruding, you know, but just think of it like, hey, I'm there as a resource and a tool for them to get them where they want to go, because they don't want to deal with the house. You know, they don't want to deal with this when they have a loved one that just passed away. So always remember that you're there to help people, and don't ever feel bad for reaching out to these people.
People first. I love that you said that. Thank you for making that point, because that's so true. Is that, you know, like when I take it a step further and it's just teaching, you know, the people on my team, is we're here to provide a service to people that need it. You know, the thing about that tax delinquent list that, you know, the point that I was getting to on that one was that these people aren't reaching out for help. They don't have time to reach out for help. They don't, your first inkling isn't, oh, I'm behind on all of this stuff. I'm about to lose my house. I need to call a real estate agent or a real estate investor. That's not your first thought. Your first thought is like, I need to do whatever I can to just get money. And so, you know, when you're reaching out to these people, do know that there's something going on. And the reason, like, and all of this information that I'm talking about, these tax delinquent lists, like, they're free. The most I've ever paid for one is like $40.
Right.
Like, that's how cheap these lists are, people. And then, you know, there are free services that you can use to skip trace that work just fine. You know, and there's a lot of different things that you can do with all of that. But this is all free and public information. And these are people that need our help. They're not raising their hand. They're not, openly like hair on fire kind of thing. And so there's a lot of money that can be made, you know, doing stuff like this. And this is consistent. this is something that you can repeat every single month. Like I was telling you, that list of 15,000 plus people, good luck working through it. It's because here's the thing is that there's a new list, an updated version of that list every single year.
Right. Yeah. So it's constantly evolving.
Yeah. So, and all of the other things that I talked about, so like the death, the divorce, they all layer on top of this list. So, when you get into like list stacking and things of that nature, that's why I use the tax delinquent list is my cornerstone list. It's my foundation, because I can tell you there's nothing more gut wrenching than when you are talking to someone for a couple months and they just can't get it through their head. They get to foreclosure, and then you show up to the tax auction, because our team, we make relationships. We go to these property tax auctions and seeing these houses sell. And that's the biggest gut punch, is knowing that I tried to help them and I couldn't help them. Like, obviously you can't save everybody. You can't save
everybody
personally, but that sucks. Like, that really, 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 really sucks, because it's like, I had an opportunity to help that person and they just didn't want to help themselves. But there's so many other people out there. And if you can change your mentality to, I'm doing this for the service of others, your business will take off.
Oh, definitely. Well, that's awesome, man. I just want to recap everything you just talked about, because for like a lot of new people, if they're just getting started, this can get a little overwhelming. So mm-hmm. What Kyle, you're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're talking about mm-hmm. pulling public data mm-hmm. from your courthouse, your clerk's office, wherever you're at. And yep. This data can be used to find motivated sellers. Okay, guys. So if you're wholesaling, if you're trying to find fixer uppers, if you're trying to buy rentals, these lists, when he says list or data, he's talking about public records that can be pulled, and you can find people that are behind on their taxes. These people, they maybe just passed away, probate, things of that nature. And this is all free. I don't want to reinstate everything you just said, but I wanted mm-hmm. to summarize that so people know that this is another way you can source properties. Like, I've been talking to people on different trainings about, finding leads through Facebook. I've been talking about all these different ways, but only a few are using these techniques. So if you want to set yourself apart from everybody, pull data and refine it. See, a lot of people are just pulling data and they're just calling everybody on the list. But dude, Kyle, I love that you talked about refining this data down to save yourself time and to find your niche there, where you can just go out and blast and find, help as much people as possible. So mm-hmm. anything else on that topic, man? Because this is so deep and this is so helpful for everybody that I want to make it as available as possible, because this is a new topic that a lot of people aren't hearing about. It's not new, I should say, but it's a new topic to their ears. And I think if you could provide any more value, that'd be awesome. Is there anything else you would want to add on to that?
The biggest thing is, so if you're just starting out, this would be the first thing that I would, this is the first thing that you should learn, is where to find these lists and how to find them. Because this is going to be the foundation that sets your career up, is that you're going to be able to find what niches you want to work. My partner, who's the one who taught me this, he's been doing this since I was a glint in my parents' eyes. the thing with this is that he would take these lists and boil them down to like 200. So to make them very bite-sized. And what he would do is he would actually drive to these people's houses and tape a letter to the door. Wouldn't knock, wouldn't put it in the mailbox, it's against the law, but he would tape it to the door. And if you've got an eyesore on your door, what are you gonna do? You're gonna take it down. And so that's the thing. If you're someone new that's looking to get started, learn these foundations. Learn these foundations, because this is going to set you up for a sustainable business, something that you're going to be able to do, wash, rinse, and repeat every single month. Because everything else that you do from here is, it's just, they're all widgets. The different types of scripts and sales conversations, the Michael and I were talking about this off camera, was that the reason why my business partner, when he started doing this, refined the information so much is because he's the most god awful salesperson you'll ever
meet. Made it easier on himself.
Absolutely. So that's the biggest thing when I'm working with people, is that we refine this information to a level that is so small. There's riches in the niches, is what they say. And we get it down to such a small level that it doesn't really matter what type of conversation you're having. If you've ever met somebody who is in such a state of need, they'll take anything. They'll do anything. And now, don't take advantage of them, but don't worry about the script. Don't worry about all of this.
Exactly.
And the other piece of it too is, now you understand their motivation. And a lot of times if you're an experienced investor, you've had transactions go sideways. You know the underlying mechanism that's causing stress in these people's lives. And so that's the biggest thing is I tell my retail agents this. I said, if you know that they've been going through a bankruptcy or they have all of this stuff going on behind the scenes, understand that they might be a little bit more temperamental. They might not want to talk. They might be more jumpy. They might be more urgent. And knowing this information ahead of time is going to allow you to build more rapport. It's going to allow you to take the transaction from point A to point B in a much smoother time frame. So that's the biggest thing is like you and I can sit here for 5 or 6 hours and I could just dive into all of this. But that's to anybody who's new that's starting out, you know, reach out to Michael, you know, find these resources and learn how to find the information because it's free and it's out there. Learn how to refine the information and from there pick what it is you want to go after.
Definitely. So is there any, like, I know you said you could reach out to me or anybody, but is there any website you provide any resources on how to do this? Or is there any way that you would anywhere that these people can just go right now if they want to learn more how to do this process?
Yeah. If they want to learn more, you know, we've got the Savvy Real Estate Investors Fixing, Flipping and Funding. We've got 5hourflip.com that we talked about when Bryce and I were on here before. That's going to be a masterclass that actually teaches how to pull the data, how to have those conversations and how to do all of that in 5 hours a month. And then the virtual wholesaling tips, tricks, and techniques. Those three areas, it's all like with the exception of the masterclass, the other two are free groups. They're free resources. They're wealth of information within Savvy. There's over a year's worth of information. Everything that I teach in masterclasses, everything that I teach in courses is free in videos in my group, and I don't ask for a penny. So
that's awesome, man. So we need to make sure you click those links below here. Whenever you're done listening, go in the description, click those. And you can also find a lot of this information, guys, on YouTube. Like if you really want this information, it's out there. Just type in on YouTube, how to pull tax delinquent list or where can I get tax delinquent records and it'll pop up. But so make sure you just click those links and I'll put it all down here, Kyle. So it's available for them. But one last thing, we'll end this out with one last piece of advice you'd give to a new investor. I know you just gave out a bunch, but is there one thing you would tell a new investor that wants to start, you know, jumping into the investing game? What would you tell them?
Keep it simple. Keep it simple. I meet a lot of new investors that are trying to do too many things at one time. Don't overcomplicate the process. I mean, there's steps to it. And just follow the steps is, you know, find the information, refine the information, have the conversation and put a purchase on the house. Don't start doing, you know, creative things before, you know, don't run before you walk.
Definitely. That's gold because I see so many people jumping into wholesaling or whatever it is, you know, they're trying to do. And they try to do what all the big players are doing. Mm-hmm. When the big players, they have systems, they have staff, they have, you know, we don't have that when you first start out. So Keep it simple, dude. That's amazing. I love how you pointed that out because I think that's something that a lot of these newer investors needed. But man, I appreciate you coming on here. Yeah. We're coming up to our time limit and I want to value your time, dude. So we'll make sure that everybody follows you and everybody sees that amazing flip you did because that was awesome, dude. Like, I can't get over how awesome that looked. Like how many flips like that at that scale have you done? Do you do a lot of those?
We do typically one a month. So like we're at any given time outside of like wholesales and wholetails, you know, we're flipping anywhere between 4 to 6 houses per month. And so like those big projects, it's like we'll start on like one a month. So every 3 to 6 months, one of the big ones finishes up. So.
Well, gotcha, man. Well, that's awesome, guys. Well, thank you again, Kyle, for coming on. It's been amazing. I love hearing this story about you forming your knowledge and data. And I can't wait for everybody else to be able to implement what you're teaching. And guys, if you have any questions at all, reach out to Kyle on Facebook, join one of his Facebook groups, or you can message me and I'll get you in connection with Kyle because he's doing a lot out in here and he's giving away so much free information. Listen, this guy is who you need to talk to when it comes to data. So guys, thank you again for coming on. Kyle, thanks for coming on. And again, please leave a review. Hit subscribe if you like this content. This is all free. Kyle puts his time into this. I put my time into this. This is free stuff for you guys. So please help us out and do us a favor by subscribing and leaving a review. So guys, thank you guys for tuning in. Have a great day. Kyle, have a great day, brother. Appreciate it.
You too, man. Thank you.